Welcome to Comic Culture on 93.3 CFMU, McMaster Radio, and podcast at comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter Duralia, joined by my co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Chris.
Walter, how are you today?
Doing great, Chris. You?
I'm doing fantastic. And you know why?
Why?
Because today is not Free Comic Book Day, but it is Comic Book Day. It's Wednesday, and of course, this is when all the new releases come out.
Chris, it is yours and mine,
yes.
Our favorite day of the week.
Absolutely.
And, might I add, this may be a good segue, if I could say.
Segue. I love when you use big words like
into,
that.
Our guests, it may even be their favorite day of the week.
Well, it might, and you know who our guests are today.
No, I don't.
Our guests are Rob Haynes and Kevin Boyd from the Joe Shuster Awards Ceremony. They've decided to come and visit us today and talk a little bit about the Shusters and about what they do in the comic book industry and things like that. Rob and Kevin, how are you today?
I'm fine, guys. How are you today?
That was Kevin.
Yes, that was me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Good, guys. Guys, I know you guys both are huge fans of the show.
Massive.
Yes. Crickets.
Huge.
So I'm going to ask you guys to participate in tonight's show. We're going to go through our regular routine, get to you guys, talk to you guys, interview you guys about Shusters and other things later in the show. But we're going to carry on with our regular show. And you guys being, you know, comic brains, your input will be greatly appreciated over the
you're
next.
Right.
Yes.
Kevin.
And needed.
Kevin, did you know that you're a comic brain?
I didn't know that I had a comic brain.
Well, you know, it should be very.
But it's kind of funny,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Guys, we start the show every week with new releases. Today being Wednesday, people head into their local comic shop, peruse the new this week. You know, and there are some titles that I wanted to highlight. I'm going to start with Jonah Hex number 57.
Now, Jonah Hex number 57, of course, we just recently saw the Jonah Hex movie come out, which was a bit of a bomb. So let's
Chris,
hope that the
maybe comment. You and seven other guys saw the Jonah Hex movie. But that's what I wanted to ask.
Megan Fox was in it. Come on. Come on. Now,
okay.
She's pretty high.
Fair enough. But
yeah.
Again, you and seven other guys
fair
saw
enough,
Megan
fair
Fox.
Enough. Okay, fair enough. Okay.
Now, I wanted to ask you guys. Now, does a bomb, what does that do to a title? Like,
well, I would hope that it doesn't do too much to the title.
I mean, Jonah Hex has a bit of an audience already with Jimmy Palmiotti and Justin Gray. So, and they have some great artists working for them, like Jody Bernay, Darwin Cook does some issues and
right.
covers. So there is a following for it. I don't think it's going to be that impacted by that piece of crap movie.
So let me ask you guys both this. Will the comic survive the bombish movie that occurred a few weeks ago?
It will.
Wow. Yeah. If I were to be negative, I would say, I can't believe it's made it this far. But
good point.
It's a Western comic that's made it nearly 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This movie is not going to change anything.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But I think with inherent with titles like this, with Jonah Hex and, okay, I'll just say Jonah Hex, Blue Beetle, is they're perpetual. I mean, there's a steady decline in the numbers every month, mm-hmm. per se, anyway.
Right.
And I think Jonah Hex being a cult type of a book that has its core following,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Has kind of held its own for this long because it's got the loyal following.
Right.
And it's
yeah.
probably on a thread. I'm just
yeah.
assuming that
yeah.
it's on a thread, 10% below, and they're going to pull this thing.
I would think mm-hmm. that it's probably one of those titles that probably does better as miniseries, like when Joe R. Lansdale was writing it years ago, and he had, like, you know, Riders of the Worm and such, and things like those, sort of four-issue, five-issue miniseries. It probably did better back then than it does now, because I don't know if there's that many fans of that series, but I know Jimmy Palmiotti is a great writer, but I don't know if it's holding up to what Joe R. Lansdale can do.
I would actually say it's probably close to a Vertigo title, in that the Vertigo titles are low selling, but sell well as trade paperbacks.
Right.
So Jonah Hex is one of those titles that every 4 or 5 months there's another trade paperback. Everybody reads it at that point.
That's terrible math.
No,
four
no.
or 5 months.
No, no,
but
no, it's every 4 or 5 months, there's a trade paperback, right?
Okay, guys. Let's not.
Yeah.
I don't want to be part of a domestic. Okay, just leave it alone.
All right.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Let's jump over to X-Men number one.
X-Men number one
hits the. Oh, I see a moan from Kevin.
Are you having X-Men Day at Big B?
No, we're not.
No, we're not.
But I want your reaction to X-Men number one.
I mean,
Kevin.
X-Men number one. There's a Wolverine number one coming out later in the summer. Another reboot. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Another relaunch.
I gotta side with Kevin here on this one. You know what? I'm getting tired of the reboots. I'm getting tired of the relaunches. You know, just stick with the characters. Come on.
But yeah, that's the way to go now. The way to go is reboots.
That's ridiculous.
We just got finished saying that it's holding on by a thread. 10% they're going to cut it for Jonah Hex at issue 57.
Yeah.
So people buy number ones. But
people do buy.
Let me give credit to this number one. Vampires.
Oh. Vampires. Vampires are in the number one. And you're right. I think Marvel is ahead of the curve. Well, zombies are on the way.
They're done.
Is this to capture the whole Twilight fan? The whole
vampires
I'm
are
so
in.
Sick of vampires. I am absolutely sickened to death of vampires and zombies. And, you know, I'm probably going to tick off a lot of fans out here. But, you know, I got to say that, you know, come on. Come up with something else.
Well, yeah, they're coming seriously. Up with vampires.
Oh, come on.
Now, I did hear that Death of Dracula book is tough to get.
Yes,
it is. There's a lot
majorly
of demand for
under
that.
Ordered.
It was very underordered. People are looking for it like crazy. It's selling on eBay for silly money.
And that's because it led into
this crazy
X-Men number one.
Right. X-Men number one, right, right. Well, you know what? One thing's for sure is I think it's going to fly off the shelves.
Yes.
And here's the thing, though. Here's the thing with a lot of stores in North America is, you know, I feel sorry for the guys that are picking the numbers to order because there's so many relaunches and so many things.
Sure.
Guys get bit in the butt and they're holding stock that they couldn't sell. And but, you know, if they're conservative and something hits, they got nothing.
Yes.
You know, people
right,
are coming in, hey, you got X-Men number one?
Yeah.
I mean, or, hey, excuse me, do you have X-Men number one?
but the good news is, in 4 months, there'll be trade paperback.
That's right.
That's right.
With extras.
For that nine-part story.
That's yeah. right.
They'll throw in Death of Dracula and other things.
Yeah.
They will.
Yeah, as like a prequel.
In a like a thick hardcover.
Yeah, yeah. Or one of those Monster Magazine Marvel things that they do where it's like 100 pages for $5. Or
all right, well, I mean, there's a lot of... You know, and X, just being X-Men. X-Men fans, they're legion of X-Men
fans. Oh, absolutely.
Fans, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to pick this thing up. Yeah. And yeah. So you know it's going to sell. And the thing is, what... I mean, I don't know. I mean, I read a little bit about obviously mutants versus vampires and stuff like that, but I'm not sure what they want to do with the X-Men title.
Well, I would imagine that probably some of the X-Men may become vampires. I don't know for sure, but I'm just speculating here.
Oh. I'd like to know which X-Men title is being canceled to make room for this. Do you know?
I don't know.
I don't think there are any X-Men titles.
Oh, they're just having
canceled.
Another new number
like,
one?
The old X-Men title is now X-Men Legacy.
Yes.
Right.
So now
right.
this is a new X-Men
it's
title.
New.
Is yeah. Uncanny still going?
I mean, oh, yeah.
I should
yeah.
know this. I should know this.
yeah. I should know
don't,
it as well.
Don't you own a comic book store? I'm just saying.
Part-time.
Oh, right.
Okay. All right, we'll leave the X-Men alone. Look for that on the stands today. Hopefully your shop has a few copies left over.
Mm-hmm.
Hellboy, the Storm number one comes in today. Chris and I talked last week about the BPRD.
BPRD, yeah, from Dark Horse.
Yeah, so Mike Mignola is launching another Hellboy. And the thing I liked about Hellboy, and we alluded to this earlier with Jonah Hex, is... These guys at Dark Horse have figured it out. Screw the, you know...
The ongoing series.
Ongoing series, you know.
For sure.
I got a great idea for a story.
Yeah.
I'm just
going to
launch a nice six-part miniseries, which in 2.5 months will be a graphic novel.
But you know what? One of the things I love about the
six
Hellboy...
Weeks.
Yeah, for sure. One of the things I love about the Hellboy series is that they keep on changing up the different writers and different artists, you know. So you're going to get Richard Corbin doing the art one time, and then you're going to get Guy Davis doing the art and maybe doing the writing as well. So it changes all the time, right? Like, Mike Mignola always does the covers, but,
right.
you know, the,
right.
the writing, the team sort of changes from...
Some
from,
guy named Duncan... For Fegredo.
Fegredo, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's doing yeah. the art for, yeah. for this.
The Jay and Silent Bob artist.
Yeah. That's right, yeah, that's yeah. right, yeah, very good.
Apparently he's pretty good.
Yeah,
there he is. And again, Legion of Hellboy fans. Sticking with Dark Horse this week, Star Wars The Old Republic number one comes out today.
Now, hold on, I'm confused, because didn't they have a Star Wars The Old Republic
yeah.
before?
Yeah,
and now,
it's been canceled, so
been
clearly
canceled,
rebooting.
And now rebooting again.
Oh, it's rebooted.
So now,
hey, Star Wars The Old Republic, number one,
that,
reboot.
That doesn't necessarily mean you have to...
The New Old Republic.
Yeah, the new Old Republic. Yeah.
As opposed to Tales of the Old Republic.
Right,
But the reason I included this one this week
it's
is Star Wars is just huge for Dark Horse. Star Wars sells. And guys, Star Wars, at our shop anyway, so the Star Wars graphic novels sell like candy. Like the Star Wars graphic novels sell. The stuff that you wouldn't you know, assume that, like, you know, Star Wars Legacy will sell. Star Wars Tales will sell.
Yeah. Well, I certainly wouldn't assume that.
People are mad for Star Wars, right? Anything that has to do with Star Wars, people are crazy for it.
True.
They want to find out about, you know, because they're going to pick some character that is a no-name in the movies, and they'd be like, wow, I want to know about, more about Kit Fisto, or, you know, whoever it happens
to be. Oh, I love that guy!
Right? Right? You know, whoever it happens to be, they're going to want to know more about these characters.
Now, we're very pro-Canadian, and a lot of Canadians work on Star Wars comics,
too. Yeah, for sure.
Like,
right.
Our buddy Dave Ross... Yeah. Is doing some Old Republic stuff. I don't know if he's doing this one or not, but...
No. Robin Chesney.
Robin Chesney.
The cool part about Star Wars The Old Republic, Robin Chesney is doing this, and it's kind of like a lead-up, I guess. This comic contains critical events prior to...
A new video game. Yes.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah,
Can you believe that? Like, so the comic,
I can't believe
it's multimedia things happening.
I can't believe
they
coincided the comic to be with the video
Not
game.
Only
That's
coincided,
crazy.
But they purposely let a prelude to it.
And I can't believe you didn't say anything about the fact that I called the character Kit Fisto.
Fisto. You know what, Chris? I was afraid. I was afraid after last week's fiasco. I was afraid to go there.
All right.
Fair enough.
I was afraid to go there, and you know what? My fear has overtaken me.
Well, you know what?
We're going to get out of the new week.
And just for all your listening pleasure, I have a brand new Justice League of America song here for you.
Call the roll. Of the Justice League of America.
Superman!
Here!
Aquaman!
Here!
Wonder Woman!
Here!
Flash!
Here!
Metamorpho!
Here!
Plastic Man!
Here!
And Batman!
Here!
Yeah, here they come. Hey, look out, jump.
It's the Justice League. The Justice League.
Superheroes always on the ball.
It's the Justice League.
The Justice League.
It takes big trouble with a capital B.
A super colossal calamity.
A tremendous, stupendous catastrophe.
To bring them all out swinging.
And when they're swinging, man, they're bringing
big trouble with a capital T.
For any super enemy.
On Earth or in space or land or sea.
Hey, do they put on a show anywhere the four winds blow?
When they get the call, watch them go.
The Justice League.
Yeah, the Justice League.
Hold the Justice League.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our regular program to bring you a special broadcast direct from the secret sanctuary of the Justice League of America. Addressing the council at this emergency meeting is Superman.
Fellow members of the Justice League, the world is under attack at this very moment by the most powerful forces man has ever seen. Creatures from space, monsters from the depths of the earth, and criminals operating right within our cities. And they must be destroyed before they destroy the world. Operation Lifesaver is in effect as of right now.
Are you ready?
Yeah!
Are you with it?
Yeah!
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on! Hang on! Hang on!
The Justice League is coming!
Here we come, hey, look out, chum,
it's the Justice League.
The Justice League.
Superheroes always on the ball, it's the Justice League.
The Justice League.
There's big trouble with the capital B.
A super colossal calamity.
A tremendous, stupendous catastrophe.
And here we come out swinging.
And when we're swinging, man, we're bringing
big trouble with the capital T.
For any enemy
on Earth or in space or land or sea.
Hey, do we put on a show anywhere the four winds blow?
When we get the call, watch us go. The Justice League. Yeah, the Justice League. Oh, the Justice League. That's the Justice League.
Wow, Chris, suddenly I get the urge to join the Y.
YMCA.
Chris, great segue into the industry news. And I'm going to start tonight's industry news with, obviously the big news is Spider-Man has been cast. You guys aware of this?
Yeah, well, the new Spider-Man movie, of course, right.
I didn't realize that was the big news.
Well, it is big news.
There were a few big things, but yeah, that's...
A few days ago.
One of the big things.
Yeah. Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield.
Anybody know anything about this guy?
He's named after a big orange cat.
Yes,
that's
he is.
That's about all I know. Excellent point. Good point. I like that, yes.
And I know he's British.
Okay, I did not know that.
And he's old.
No, he's 27.
Okay. Right, but he's going to play 17.
Okay, he's going to play 17.
So he's like a piece from 90210.
But he's old.
I guess they figure he won't get any bigger.
But the write-up on it is that he's born in California but raised in England.
Right.
Right? So
does he have a British accent? So we'll
that would be cool. Wouldn't that be cool?
Oh, Mary Jane.
I say, rubber.
Pip, old chum.
I say, rubber.
Oh, Scorpion, quit stinging me with your tail.
Back to the loo for you, Doc Ock.
Okay.
All right, anyways.
You know what? That's gold. That's what that is.
Gold, Jerry. It's gold.
I'll probably go see that movie.
Yeah, me too.
Probably.
Now. Them going back with Spidey to, what is it, like the ultimate thing with the teenage, with the high school and stuff like that.
I'm okay with that, by the way.
You are? Oh, yeah, I'm on everybody's opinion on that. Yeah.
I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm not a fan of, I thought Sam Raimi did okay with the Spider-Man movies. I thought the first one was pretty good, second one was okay, I thought the third one was terrible. Oh. But, you know, I think they really should just go back to the well and just start from the beginning again.
Second one was awesome.
It was okay.
One of the best comic movies ever made, I think.
Ever made?
Yeah.
Ever made. That's a pretty strong
word. Better
than
Prince
Valiant. He did say comic book movie.
Yeah, there's a line there.
That's true. I mean, it's no Swamp Thing, I know, but you know.
Well, with Adrian Barbot. okay. Well, that's good.
Well, what do you think of this idea?
No, I like it. I like it. I think that's what Spider-Man needs. I think...
But don't you think this guy looks goofy?
But Peter Parker was goofy. The Ditko, the Steve Ditko, the original.
I'm sorry, you can't play Peter Parker. You have a long neck.
You have a long neck.
Yes. And a big head.
The mask we have from the last movie won't fit this kid.
You know how much it costs to make a new mask?
Jesus Christ. Anyway, no, I think it's a great move. I think they need a reboot. Thing is, guys, listen, with all these superhero characters, with Superman, with Batman, with Spider-Man, help me out, keep me going here with
Aquaman.
Hellboy.
With all these guys, you need
to reboot it, like every 3 months. Why not?
Yeah. No. Like every three movies, because a movie takes a few years to produce.
Right.
It's the character that's important, not the people playing the character.
Fair enough.
And
yeah.
You know, you have Tarzan in the old days, played by 17 different guys. It's about Tarzan. It's not about Weissmuller or something like that.
Right.
And so why not? Why not come back every generation or something like that and pick a new Batman?
See, I thought Weissmuller did like 17 movies where he just got progressively older. And
maybe that was a bad example.
And a generation is three movies.
Right.
You're right.
That's
and,
true. 10 so years,
I,
yeah.
This is safe. I think this is good. I think this is a good move, and the X-Men are doing it.
Yeah.
And
really?
Yeah, first class.
Directed by the guy that did Kick-Ass.
I mean, Matthew I guess Bond. The question I have about this... I don't know why I care that much, but the question I have is, are they going to retell that, you know, Uncle Ben got shot?
No.
Okay.
From what I understand, he's in high school, and he's Spider-Man. We've already established...
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, then you can
origin.
I'm cool with that. You can do that as many times as you want. Just tell a different story. But if they were to reboot it and basically tell that first movie over again...
I seem to think that, you know, origin stories for the most part are the most boring part of the stories. Like, right. get to the cut of the chase.
Well, hold on,
here.
Hold on. You know. I'm going to interject for comic fans, but for laymen, for people that don't know the character, origin stories could be interesting.
I guess, but as long as they don't spend too much time on it.
Or if they, you know, you could make anything their origin if we're talking about non-comic fans.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I guess you're right.
Well, like when they redid Hulk, they just retold his origin in like a flashback in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Which is perfect, right?
Good point. Yeah, good point. But again, I think this is going to be good. And I think the Spidey fans will go to this movie. And I mean, come on. Did anybody go to see Tobey Maguire? Or, you know, obviously not. You know, they went to see Spidey.
So they want
good Spidey entertainment.
Yeah, or Kristen Dunst.
Who's he?
Snaggletooth.
She's gone.
Kristen Dunst was Mary Jane.
Oh, right, yeah. Kristen Dunst.
It's a she, not a he. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, they may have seen her. Anyway, I give Spidey, as the guy on the movie review thing, I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. All right, that's good. Good to know. Okay.
Sin City number 2, guys.
What? Say what?
Sin City 2.
Cool.
Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
Apparently, he's doing a Spy Kids movie, a Spy Kids 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he's going to revisit and wants to do a Sin City 2 based on the
Frank Miller.
A Dame to Kill For.
Yes.
Frank Miller's A Dame to Kill For story. Now, who saw the original Sin City?
I did.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
It was great. It was very good.
I'm going to show my ignorance here. Did Rodriguez do that first one?
Yes, he did.
With Miller. Okay.
Now, the problem is that we don't want to have Frank Miller directing anything, really.
Because of the Phantom?
I'm glad you're up on your movies, but that's fine, yeah. Yeah, no, unfortunately, Frank Miller's not the best of directors. Great storyteller as far as comics and storyboarding goes, but as far as directing goes, not so much.
Okay. All
right. And A Dame to Kill For was his other good Sin City story.
You're right.
It was a very good Sin City story.
It was a great story. I hope this happens. He's actually in talks also to do a Madman. You know, the comic book.
Yeah.
That's been in talks for a long time. Yeah.
So I hope he does the Sin City first.
I would think so. I mean, Sin City's already a recognized and successful franchise, so I don't see why they wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Neil Gaiman.
Yes.
We're all fans.
Yes. Well, hold on. Before you say we're all fans, let's just tell our audience that Neil Gaiman was, in fact, the writer of the Sandman series and novel of Good Omens, wrote Stardust, that movie with Robert De Niro.
Wrote Caroline, the kid's book.
Wrote Caroline,
Caroline.
Sweet Coraline. Ba, ba, ba.
And his family. Are Scientologists.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
Are they? Perfect.
They are. And he claims to not be. But anyway.
It's possible.
We can see through the charade.
Anyways, he's a very, very popular...
He's British.
Right. Yes, British writer, yes.
So apparently he is now on slate to write some Doctor Who.
Oh,
for being British.
Doctor
so he's going to write some Doctor Who episodes for British TV.
Very
and stuff
good.
Like that.
For the BBC.
For the BBC. Right. And maybe. Go ahead.
I love his scarf.
BBC One.
Who's?
Doctor Who.
Doctor Who.
Yeah. He's got sweet scarves.
That would be the Tom.
That's the only guy. See, the problem with Doctor. And again, this kind of goes back to the Spider-Man thing. Hold on here. There's been like 700 Doctor Who's.
Yeah.
And the only guy I remember is that soccer scarf guy.
That would be Tom Baker.
Tom Baker.
As opposed to John Pertwee, who was one of the original Doctor Who guys.
Did he have a scarf?
No.
Okay.
No.
I know the guy with the scarf.
Yeah. So. I actually used to be a big Doctor Who fan back in the day. Not so much anymore, but you know. Yeah.
All right.
You know, Daleks and Cybermen and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, Neil Gaiman's a talented writer.
Absolutely.
And these
arguably.
Guys. Arguably.
I am not a fan of the Sandman.
That's like my favorite series of all time.
Some issues are okay, but a lot of it's boring, pretentious.
Oh, you know what, Kevin? I used to like you. I used to think you're okay, guy.
Chris is now showing Kevin to the door.
I'm sorry.
All right. Let's leave that one alone. Hey, let's leave that one alone and move on to. I wanted to talk a little bit because we have the Schuster guys here.
We do, and we probably should talk about.
No, not yet.
Oh, sorry.
But I wanted to ask their opinion.
Yes.
On Wonder Woman number 600.
Yes.
On Wonder Woman changing her costume, and on Wonder Woman's history being rewritten. These are comic guys here.
Yeah,
Chris.
Absolutely.
So you and I are lucky
tonight.
We have comic guys here.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So what do you guys think?
First, Kevin, what do you think of it?
What do I don't like the story. I think it's really stupid. It's JMS going in again into the past and changing a character's history to yes. suit a story that he wants to tell.
Yes.
That bothers me. The costume change, it's costume not a great changes. Costume. It's right. okay. But if she wants to change her clothes, I don't care.
There's like, been some pretty bad costume changes over the years, and nobody really gives it a second thought. You know, the electric Superman thing, and it'll come back.
How about when Spider-Man had the whole metal costume?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, oh, that was brutal.
Civil War.
Armor. Oh, yeah, that was nice. But you know, kind of, even when Spidey had the black costume, you know he'd be back, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
this thing about, and Kevin hit the nail on the head, this thing about changing the history of the character. Mm.
Yeah.
Rob, weigh in.
Rob,
you know, I don't care.
Yes.
And I don't care about her costume. Wonder Woman actually is a property that is kept alive by DC Comics because if they don't print it, it reverts back to the creator's estate.
Right.
And the only reason that they are beating this horse is to sell Underoos.
Yeah.
To be frank, I don't care about Wonder Woman.
No matter how badly Wonder Woman sells every month, there will always be a Wonder Woman.
That's right.
Because they don't want to surrender the license to the estate of William Moulton Marston.
Yeah, and that's it. And they make more money off the licensing to computer companies and computer games and all the rest of it than they'll ever make from the comic. I don't care.
Now back up, guys. Hold on, Rob. Wonder Woman is the part of the troika there, part of, you know, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman.
In the 50s, I would agree.
In the 60s?
Maybe.
All right. So yeah, you're saying now that Wonder Woman is irrelevant.
But hasn't DC spent the last 4 or 5 years trying to undermine that whole troika thing and have them separated? I mean, there was a title that was...
Trinity.
Yes. Which we'll forget about.
Okay. That was pretty terrible. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It was pretty terrible.
But they took them all off the stage for years.
Yeah, it makes no difference. I mean, DC has made a lot of money off Wonder Woman. God bless them, but I don't care.
You know, I got to say, I am a Wonder Woman fan. I do like the character.
Especially when she's tied up.
Absolutely. Yeah. She can tie me up with that lasso anytime.
Anytime.
That's right. But you know what? Although I do have to say that some of my favorite issues of Wonder Woman was way back in the day when the artist Brian Bolan was doing the covers, and there was a few issues when Wonder Woman went to go work for like a taco stand. You know, so take that as you will. I really I thought it was hilarious, and I thought it was really fun.
I don't know.
She was out of work.
I don't know. I don't know. I still think Wonder Woman. I think what I think is there's potential still for Wonder Woman because Wonder Woman, I don't know, I could be wrong. I think Wonder Woman is a household name.
I absolutely agree.
And that's why she has a comic.
Do you know that Linda Carter was actually interviewed about the whole costume change, and she agreed. She thought, sure, why not? Like, why not have a costume change?
Yes.
I mean, she had a costume change in the 60s.
Yes.
You know, and so why not have another costume change?
She had Wonder Woman right around 100 when the character changed over and
she had no powers, so she had like a white jumpsuit.
Yeah. No. But in the reboot,
the Mike Diodato issues.
Yeah. It happens.
It's the hot pants and
people that get wrapped up with the costume. Who cares? In fact, DC originally changed the costume in the 70s, I believe, to the an eagle look.
Yes.
Or from the eagle, anyway, just so they could trademark it. I mean, let's face it, this character is all about DC making money, and she can be an interesting character.
Okay, but let's not forget here for a brief second here that DC likes to change costumes. I mean, let's not forget they had the Superman red, Superman blue costume change and all that kind of stuff. I mean, above all else, this is going to sell comics, and that's really what DC is all about.
And toys. Well, if I can just, one last comment, the way Wonder Woman will sell is tying her up. I remember, no, listen. In the late 60s, they tried to go with the women's lib thing, the women's empowerment thing. They gave her all kinds of, they gave her cool outfits.
It
wasn't sexist.
Hold on.
But they tried to appeal to females. They tried to appeal to the women's lib, the empowerment type thing. Within 2 years, every other issue, every other cover, she was tied up. Because basically DC gave up. They go, we can't sell this to women's lip type. Let's sell this to young adolescent boys and put her in sexual situations and stuff like that.
You know what I'd like to see, frankly, from Wonder Woman is strictly make it a children's comic.
Make
Wonder Woman a children's comic. Don't keep her in the DC universe. You need to put out a book to retain it. Do it. Make it a kid's book.
I completely agree. All right. But anyways, is that it for industry news?
We'll stop industry news there.
And you know, seeing as we're talking about Wonder Woman, here's a little Wonder Woman clip.
The only home. hope for freedom and democracy is...
you and the power you possess in your satin tights, fighting for your rights and the old red, white and blue.
Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman,
now the world is ready for you.
Telling you, Chris, if you were in a nightclub and there was girls here, they'd be all over you, spinning those tunes like a DJ.
Absolutely, absolutely.
DJ Jazzy Chris.
That's me. Yeah.
But what if I don't want to get out from under Wonder Woman?
And I would understand why you wouldn't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
All I got to say is make the axis fold. All right? That's one of the lines.
I have no idea what that means.
Stop a war with love. Really. I mean, what more can Wonder Woman do?
And you know what? If she does that, she's done enough.
Really? Absolutely. Right. I agree.
All right, Chris. Tonight, we're very honored. We're very, very honored to have, including yourself, Chris, I must tell the audience that Chris Owen is also a Schuster Award member.
Say what?
We have Kevin Boyd. We have Rob Haynes. We have pretty well the brain trust of the Schuster Awards here in the studio. And I am humbled.
Well, so, you should be for once, finally. Really, I mean, I've been working with you for 2 years now. It'd be nice to see you humbled for once.
I am very humbled, and I want to take the opportunity to ask you guys all about the what you guys do and what you guys aspire to. So, first of all...
Well, I was going to say, we should probably, you know, ask these guys exactly. Like, we brought them in from the Schuster Awards, and Rob, if I can ask you, what are the Schuster Awards all about?
Well, you know, basically the goal is to promote and recognize the work of Canadian creators in what they do in a year. It's to get comics out in front of the Canadian community and to let people know that there's a livelihood that's going on. We make up an actual considerable component of the Canadian or the overall comic community. And sometimes it gets lost in the overall Americanization, but you know we Canadians play an important role.
Okay, so hold on. So Kevin, mm-hmm. So exactly, like, I mean, these award ceremonies, it's like an Oscar kind of thing for comic books, or exactly what's going on here?
Yeah, in a sense they are. It's done in we present awards for best artist, best writer, best cartoonist, best retailer, best publisher, things like that.
How about best fan?
No, we don't do best fan.
Not yet.
Maybe there should be a best fan award.
Although, potentially, and Rob may disagree with me, a super fan could go into the Hall of Fame.
Super fan. I like that idea. Yes. Now, do you have to have like the big foam, you know, number one finger?
Well, no. Like, I think of a super fan like T.M. Maple, the guy that used
to
write.
I knew you were going there.
Write letters to all of the comics.
Right.
And yes, he was very involved in the fan community. And he actually went out and published and things like that.
Okay,
so, you know,
fair enough.
Very good.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You're right. If not an award winner, perhaps a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Yes.
As a.
I mean, Dave Sim is a super fan. He used to do that kind of stuff before. He used to write articles before.
It's funny because we have a person that frequents our shop that came in one day happy as heck because his letter got published in Conan, like the new Conan, the one from Dark Horse.
Right.
Kerry Nord was who?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Walt, look at this, man. My letter got published, like the old bullpen.
Would it surprise you to say that I've actually been published? I've had some of my letters published in some of the Marvel and DC
comics. Here's another potential super fan
right
here, Kevin.
I was published in Birds of Prey that I remember. I think other ones, but for some reason I remember Birds of Prey.
Why doesn't it surprise me that it's Birds of Prey?
I don't know.
Was it a Power Girl issue?
Probably.
A crossover.
Yeah.
All right. I would think the Professor of Comic History thing might work a little higher up there, but yeah.
But yeah, you know, whatever.
Hey, now the awards went about a month and a half ago or so. First of all, I want to ask you, how was the event? I was actually there. I enjoyed it. For you guys, as the people that presented it, how did the award ceremony go?
Well, it went off without any major problems.
Good.
So that, to me, makes me happy. I mean, we're like the backstage guys. We get everything organized. The host does his thing. He has an assistant on the stage. The presenters do their jobs. You know, we're just there to put people together. You know, we're the behind-the-scenes guys.
Right. Now, so. I would imagine, and I'm sure you guys will elaborate on this, but the Schusters isn't just a once-a-year show, right? You guys are active year-round. Just fill me in a little bit on what the organization does and you know, the 12 months of the year. I mean, is it just planning for next year's show, or are there other activities going on?
It feels sometimes like it's just an award show, but you know, actually we spend a lot of time promoting Canadians throughout the year. Our goal is to really reach out. Retailers are almost like the gateway, you know, and it's almost like an educational process. I kind of consider my function there an educational process. I want to help retailers recognize what books are coming out, who the creators are, help them improve their stores, help them sell product. They're in it to be, it's a business for them. And by doing these things, we help the creators earn incomes. We help overall in the market itself. It's a wider recognition to community outreach. Let's get new readers. We take on a lot of hats that I think just need to be done. And it's really got to the point where other people haven't been doing this stuff, so let's try and get it together.
Okay, fair enough. Now, Chris, I want to actually, my co-host here, I'm going to put him on the hot seat a guest.
Here we go.
He's on the Schuster Committee as well. Now, you're new this year to the committee.
Yes.
First of all, quickly tell the people your function and what your plans and inputs to the show could be.
I have a function? Really?
Apparently.
Oh.
I was told that you do.
You're crazy. Oh, my God. Okay. So, anyways, I guess my function in the last year, I was helping to facilitate with the Hall of Fame Committee. And in that regards, you know, getting in touch with people who are sort of longtime fans of the Canadian comic industry, and finding out, you know, who they think should be worthy enough of awards, and sort of liaisoning between the different people who talk about who might be involved in the Hall of Fame. So, for example, this year we decided to have a whole Captain Canuck presentation because of all the different Captain Canuck things going on. It was an anniversary year for them.
35th anniversary.
Yes. Yeah.
So we, you know, they decided on that, and I really had nothing, not much to do with that, other than facilitate the number of people that are emailing back and forth and that kind of thing. As well as I was also a little bit in charge of doing some media promotions, getting, you know, tickets designed and that kind of thing. So, I mean, I'm more of a backstage kind of person. This is my first year on the Schuster's Committee, and hopefully in the next, you know, year and years from now, I'll be have a greater role. This was sort of my stepping stone into the whole committee and
right.
See how things go.
Now, that's the thing, as a person that's a fan and admirer of the organization, Richard Comley, who's
the creator
and the artist of Captain Canuck, I talked to him just before the show, and I go, Richard, you know, congratulations. You're here for the ceremony in Toronto. Do you have any interviews set up? You know, like I was really impressed and I was proud of him. And, you know, I know Richard and he's a great guy. And, you know, he kind of looked at me dumbfounded, like, I don't know, you know, like, and I'm thinking, you know, we as Canadians, we as a Canadian industry, aren't out there promoting ourselves. Like, right. I thought he'd have a CBC or a CTV or a City TV interview set up for himself. Well, right? But it's almost like you guys got to teach these creators to sell themselves.
Well,
I
want you guys to weigh in on this. But I think one of the problems that Canadians have in general is that we don't promote ourselves well enough. We don't buy into the American way of you know, mythology is and promoting ourselves and the myth of the American way, and we don't do that for Canada, right? We you know, it's almost like, you know, as soon as somebody becomes too popular, we're almost like, you know, well, now you're turning your back on Canada. Like, you know, you look at some of the greater stars like Shania Twain or Celine Dion or, you know, Nickelback or something. Well, they sold out, right? You know, and what are they doing? They're not Canadian anymore, right?
Right.
And I think that's one of the things that we look at as Canada. We don't promote ourselves enough, and we really should, because with a lot of great creators and artists and writers out there. Now maybe I'm wrong.
No, I mean, our job is to get the word out there. And in my mind, if Richard Cumley doesn't have interviews, I don't think we did our job well enough.
Right.
Or he.
Well,
I'm not going to blame him. I mean, he did the work,
right?
Right. You know, it's our job to get that information out there. And we send out press releases. We're actually bringing in a new company to help us with press releases next year. So
good.
Hopefully that will help improve our media visibility. But, you know, we've encountered some challenges along the way in getting the word out to national newspapers, to radio, television. While we send the information out there, they don't always respond.
Right.
So we're trying to get the right people who do trigger those buttons. That's the thing with media. So.
Well, and it's always a process of improvement, you know. You learn every year,
yes.
and you just have goals to improve, and that's one of them for going forward. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to think that, you know, being on Comic Culture is a vast improvement already for the American
Joe Schuster Awards. Thanks, Chris. I'll help you out there.
We're stepping it up.
Yeah.
Thrilled. And Chris, I'm late breaking story that you and I will have Richard on the show next few weeks.
You know what? He was actually one of our earliest guests ever, way back like a year and a half ago or something.
In 1973.
It wasn't quite that long ago, but yeah, he was our early guest, and we'd love to have him back.
All right, guys, tell me a little bit now. Next year, I'm excited now. Next mm-hmm. year, is the show happening again in Toronto? Will it, obviously, for the foreseeable future, it will be Toronto, but are your minds already...
I don't know why you would say that.
Oh, scoop. I smell a scoop.
No, I mean, it's early in the process right
Grimsby,
now.
Ontario.
But we have talked about the possibility of presenting the awards at other cities in Canada.
Yes.
Just to help get more people across the country, because we are a national awards program. We're not just the Toronto Awards. A lot of people complain that we're very Toronto-centric. I don't know who those people are, but they're out there. And
they're non-patriots.
We want to get out there. I mean, Montreal is a city that's been talked about. Calgary is a city. Vancouver, Halifax. They're, you know,
Hamilton,
Grimsby.
Sure, why not?
Belleville.
Well, that's good. No, I like to hear that. I like to hear, again, you guys are a national award, and you mm-hmm. are looking to expand your hire. Now, has the work already started for next year? How's that work?
Well, work is always going on. We're always accumulating information about who's doing what in Canadian comics, but we have to start sitting down and doing our meetings and start planning for next year. We've had an initial email, so that's about all it right now.
All right. Chris, hold on. I'm getting signals from Chris that we have a musical interlude.
I think we should have a quick musical interlude just to kind of cut the tension here a little bit about the whole award ceremony. So,
do you have anything on the Schuster Awards?
Sadly,
musically,
I don't have a Schuster Awards ceremony, but I do have something from the old Spider-Man cartoon here. So let's just play that.
That's almost
that's
right, guys.
great, Chris. But I don't remember ever hearing that song.
Oh, come on. The title of that was actually The Scarf from the Spider-Man cartoon.
I think we watched the same shot of Spider-Man swinging through the city about 40 times during that.
No. Through the clouds.
Through the clouds.
Hey, you know what? That's good stuff. That put me in that kind of, you know,
jazzy
Doc Severinsen
absolutely,
feel.
Absolutely.
You know?
All right.
Now I know how Johnny felt when he came out of a commercial. You know what I'm saying? That was Johnny Carson.
Yes, Johnny Carson. Yes. 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 You are correct. Hi-ho.
All right, guys. Hey, listen, we're good move, Kevin. We're big fans of the organization and the committee. And I just want to quickly get: is there any scoop, anything you can tell us about the Schuster's going forward? Any plans? Any kind of new developments at this stage of the game? Can you fill the fans in on what's happening with the organization? Anything new?
Well, I mean, new, not so much. I mean, it's another year of great comics coming out. So we'll obviously be following up and keeping a close eye on what's being released every week. We'll be meeting with the Hall of Fame committee soon, talking about who should be nominated for next year. One key thing that I should mention is the website, www.joeschusterawards.com. And
Joe Schuster Awards.
Awards, plural. Yep.
Right, all one word.
And it's a great resource because we have retailer links for every province. We have webcomic links for everybody that we are aware of that who's Canadian is producing webcomics. We have publisher and creator links for creator websites. It's great.
We've even gone as far as having independent, like self-publishers, you know, the kids that make comics in their basement, and we have their links that if you're interested in those kind of books, you can hit their website and order them. And
all right. Now this touches on a good point. I want, and you guys are good diplomats, I know, but I want you guys to weigh in on the changes that the industry is seeing. Now, do you guys per se champion the brick and mortar storefront? Obviously, you can't. You know, times they are a changing. As an organization, where do you stand on the web comics versus storefront?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I mean, obviously, my role, I play the role of retailer liaison, we'll call it. And obviously, I champion brick and mortar stores. I mean, Big B has one store of the year for good cause. You know, there are a number of good stores throughout the country that deserve recognition, and that's kind of what we do. I 100% support brick and mortar, but I also support the creators. And I think that if someone wants to make a webcomic, that's go for it. You know, comics, this is more, it's a medium award, but it's also, it is a lot of it is sunk in that the mechanics of comic delivery, you know, publishers, stores, creators. But, you know, we encompass it all. Now, if you're asking me about direct digital books and things like that, I mean, hey, I'm not a big fan, I'm going to say. I heard your podcast last week, actually, and Chris talking about the differences in how it feels to hold a book. But I worry about retailers. That is actually a big part of what I do. I'm combing. I'm always looking for retailers. I'm always trying to help retailers do better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to visit their stores. I'm trying to tell them how to improve things. There is a spot for a brick-and-mortar comic book store to succeed. They just have to do things well. I think Big B's a great example of that, 100%. Legends has one. Happy Harbor has one. Strange Adventures has one. There are, you know, a big reason that a comic book store succeeds in my eyes is the role that they play in the community, mm-hmm. Developing the up-and-comers. You know, do you support self-publishers? Do you support the kid that goes to the college when he makes a comic? Do you put his comic in your store? Do you support outreach programs to kids? Do you support trying to get women into your store? Women represent 52% of the population, and you want to put a number on comic book store customers? 20? Mm. Yeah, might be high.
If that even.
But growing.
Yeah.
But growing.
And growing, and there are growth markets, 100%.
At the good stores.
At the good stores. You know, the stores that want to chase them away?
Yeah.
They'll go under.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. And you know what? I have to agree with what you're saying in here because, you know, there are a lot of stores when when a store wins an award from the Schuster's, they, you know, I always, because now I'm part of the Schuster's, people tell me about, you know, oh, well, this store should have won and that store should have won. And I tell them that, you know, a store winning just isn't about the selection of books that they have. It's more about, it's also about the services that they provide in getting readership out to the community and in promoting comic books as a viable literate sort of industry, right? So it's people often talk to me about, well, why did this store win and that why did that store win? Well, it's more than just selling books, right?
Right, right. So, all right.
But I think we should just. I know we're running out of time, unbelievably.
How does that happen?
I don't know. I don't know. We've been expanded to an hour, and yet we're still running out of time. Mm. But before we do, we should talk a little bit about the Fan Expo Award show. Rather, I got awards on my mind. Fan Expo show that's coming up in August.
Now we have Kevin Boyd, who is a man of many hats.
Yes,
and not only is he a Joe Schuster, not only is he a Joe Schuster committee guy. Is it a guy? Yeah, it's a guy.
Yeah.
He's also a Fan Expo guy.
He is.
Yeah. And he's here to give us the scoop, the dirty lowdown, the stuff that has not been released to the news media yet.
One of the things that has been released, in case you weren't aware, is that Stan Lee is actually coming to
Stan Lee?
Excelsior! apparently he's coming to the show this August, and now can you tell us anything about this? This is huge. Now for those of you who've been living under a rock for like the last 5 years, if you don't know who Stan Lee is, he is like the creator of the Marvel Universe, in conjunction with a number of other creators like Steve Ditko, Jack Kirby, all those other little guys that really don't
little guys,
whatever. So anyways. Stan Lee, however, is one of the major creators of the Marvel Universe, and he is coming to Toronto to sign autographs and kiss babies and do whatever it is he needs to do to make money.
Indeed he is. That was a very Stan Lee-esque introduction there. you're pretty good. I should get you to lead the discussion panel. Stan is indeed coming. It's going to be a huge year. We're actually in the North Building again, after many years in the South Building.
That's the Metro Toronto Convention Center. Yeah. So this is the one right on Front Street, the North Building.
Right. Yeah.
So if you want chips, you can walk out the door and buy chips. Right. You can stand in line for an hour.
Very important to know.
You can buy those gravy fries or whatever there. You don't have to walk far. It's going to be a big show. Tickets went on sale on Canada Day. And we offered a very limited meet and greet package for Stan Lee. It sold out in 10 hours.
Wow.
You know, 100 people, right? So it's 2 hours to get interactive with Stan.
Really, he is a living legend, right? I mean, this is Stan Lee. He's created a number of characters that we've all grown up with over the years. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me that it sold out in 10 hours.
Well, I'm amazed. A lot of people are very skeptical about whether or not Stan is actually coming. And I can indeed confirm that he is coming.
Well, if he doesn't, you can use Chris's voice.
That's true.
Excelsior! Listen up!
Well, you don't get to meet Stan. He's behind the curtain. Hey, kid, what do you need, sign?
It's Funky Flashman.
Listen up, true believers. Now, hold on. I got to interject here for a second.
Okay.
Now, did I tell you, have I told you before that I actually met Stan Lee years ago?
Yes.
At one of the...
Yes, you have.
Yes, you have.
You know, many times.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
I'm very, very proud of this fact, you know, and... Yeah, it was a touching moment in my life.
Mm-hmm. Now we have I have a copy of a Daredevil number 2, if I can quickly, Daredevil comics from the 1960s number 2. I actually own a copy that has two Chris from Stan Lee, and we are now selling this with the notion that we're going to get Stan to cross off Chris. he's a no good bum, and then put your name and like to Joe, name. You know, okay. To Joe, right? Chris, he doesn't deserve this book, right?
Because Chris was so proud to meet Stan Lee. Now he's flipping his Daredevil too.
He sold it. I don't know what you're talking about.
That'll be $40 well spent, I guess. Stan, the ultimate package wasn't Stan's only appearance. I mean, that's the other thing I have to confirm is Stan will be in the celebrity autograph area signing autographs almost every day, at least 2 of the 3 days. And, he'll be doing, I think it's $40 an autograph. There'll be photo opportunities if you want to get a professional photo with you and Stan, hang out on your wall.
Right.
You know, you make your stride. $40. That sounds like a lot of money.
It is actually. But, you know, it's
no, chance. It's not.
No, it's value.
No, it's not. It's value. Value added. It's a VAT.
I know a lot of people follow CGC, and CGC is coming this year, so there will be a signature series opportunity.
So
there.
I can get a signature and then put my comic in a plastic coffin?
Absolutely.
Yes. Now, the CGC will be there. They're taking submissions there as well, right? But they're not doing any on-site grading.
No on-site grading. Okay. Too expensive to get the equipment across the border.
Right. Okay. We're running out of time a bit. Is there anything else, Kevin? I mean, this is the largest comic book and pop culture show in Canada.
Indeed.
Is there any other news you can tell us in the limited time we have about the show?
Well, I mean, being the biggest show in Canada, we have huge – I'm the Canadian guest coordinator – we probably have one of the largest assemblies of Canadian guests coming, led by Darwin Cook, Cameron Stewart, Carl Kershaw, Jeff Lemire, Leonard Kirk, like a whole bunch of guys are coming. Richard Cumley, you mentioned him earlier.
Hey, Captain Cumley.
We've got, I mean, the ultimate Canadian, William Shatner, is one of our leading guests.
Also a comic book writer.
And a comic book writer. Eligible for a Joe Shuster Writing Award.
Oh, that's what we got to do. Damn it, Jim. I think we got to give him an award just so he'll show up.
Winner!
Yes.
I love your tech world.
Bones. That's what it is, I believe.
Do you know what you're saying?
Tech world.
All right. Tech world. Wow. But, yeah, Chris, sorry, Kevin.
It'll be massive. It's going to be a massive show.
You know what? I look forward to it, and... everybody, it's where is now the website? Quickly, the website. It's www.hobbystar.com.
Actually, no, it's www.fanexpocanada.com.
Fanexpocanada.com. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Check that out. Check out www.joeschusterawards.com.
Actually, we made two guest announcements today.
Oh, which ones are they?
Ernest Borgnine.
What?
I love Ernest Borgnine.
And Michelle Forbes, who was on True Blood Season 2. She was the villain.
Okay.
And she was the commander of the Pegasus in Battlestar Galactica.
Also on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, my goodness. Ernest Borgnine.
And Michelle Forbes. That's fantastic.
Get your Dirty Dozen comic book out and get it signed. Is Ernest...
Ernest Borgnine was also in with that Kurt Russell movie.
He's in everything.
Escape from New York. But listen, we're running out of time here. We really got to get going. So listen, if you do have any comments or questions about our show, please email us at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbycomics.com. Please go out and support your comic book retailers. Comic Culture is written and produced by Walter Duralia and Chris Owen. Have yourself a wonderful, wonderful comic book day.
See everyone next week.